In yesterday's Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explained that klipa, unholiness, also comes in two levels. And he explained the first level, described the first level, and that is the level of klipa that is the lower level, completely unholy, completely dark, which means completely opaque, that by its nature, it does not permit for any godliness to shine through at all. Rather, it draws attention to itself, and from it comes the energy and the existence and the life of the body and soul of non-Jews, of unholy, unclean, prohibited animals and plants, and the energy with which a person sins. All of these are totally dark klipa, and the Alter Rebbe will explain, as we learn what the other level of klipa is, we'll understand better what this totally dark klipa is all about. Today's shiur for the fourth of Teves is at the beginning of Perek Zayin. It's on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. The number at the bottom of the page is 26. Perek Zayin. Ach nefesh achiyunis habaham shebi Yisrael. However, the second kind of klipa the Alter Rebbe is going to explain is the natural soul, which is also the animal soul within the Jew. Shemitzad haklipa, that comes from klipa, hamelubeshes bedam ha'adam kenal, and it is clothed in the blood, as we said before. In other words, it is the life of the body. Nafshes behemes v'chayes v'efes v'dogim teheirim umutorim ba'achilo, and also the nefesh of the animals, the cat, the domestic animals, the wild animals, the birds, the fish, that are permissible and that may be eaten, the kiyum v'chayes kol ha'demim v'chol ha'tzimeyach ha'muter ba'achilo, and also the existence and the life of all the inorganic and plant life that are permissible. Here the Alter Rebbe includes the daimim, the inorganic, whereas in the totally dark klipa the Alter Rebbe does not mention the inorganic, because the inorganic is never prohibited, and therefore it is never from the totally dark klipa, but rather it is included among those things that are permitted, like the kosher animals and the kosher fish and the kosher birds and the kosher plants. The daimim, the inorganic, is also kosher. And also the energy and the life of all the acts and of all the speech and of all the thoughts that a person has, being yonei elam hazeh, in worldly matters, she'ein bohem tzad iser, which have no prohibition, le'sheidish v'le'anof, mishasa mitzvos le'sesev anpehen deraisa drabonon, not even an offshoot or a branch of the prohibited acts or speech or thoughts, whether from the Torah itself or from the sages, because the prohibitions of the sages is also totally dark klipa. And here the Alter Rebbe is describing the klipa that is the second, the higher level klipa, in which there is no prohibition at all, including also rabbinic prohibition. So all of this is klipa, even though there is no prohibition at all, rak she'einon l'shem shamayim, but they are not for the purpose of heaven, for heavenly purposes, and because they're not for heavenly purposes, therefore, they are unholy and of klipa. Elo rotzen haguv v'cheftze v'taivosei, what motivates these things, the act, the thought, the speech, is the will of the body, and the desire, and the passion, in other words, the pursuit of pleasure. Therefore, it is klipa and not holiness. But here a person can think that this means the overindulgence in the permissible, which is gluttony and so on, and that too is klipa, because it's an overindulgence. So the Alter Rebbe emphasizes, even if these things, the eating, the drinking, the desire of the body, is not an overindulgence, it is only for the sake of the body's existence and to continue to live. But at the same time, he doesn't have a heavenly purpose, Kedei laved es Hashem begufei. It's not that he wants to maintain the health of his body, the existence of his body, in order to be able to serve God. So he doesn't have a kavana l'shem shamayim. Then all of these things is le'adif. They cannot be better. Ma'ase dibur machshavis elu min nefesh achiyonis habahamis me'atzma. These thoughts, speech, and deed can't be higher or better than the animal soul from which they come, from which they are derived. And the animal soul itself comes from klipa, so the thought, speech, and deed also come from klipa. V'hakil kasher lakil, and all of the above, nishpa v'nimshech m'madrega hasheni shebeklipeis v'sitra achra, all of the above come from the second level of klipa and unholiness, shehi klipa revi'is, which in fact is the fourth klipa, hanikras klipas nega, which is called klipas nega, the bright klipa. And in fact, nega is mentioned also in that description of the vision of Yecheskel. There's a mention of nega as well. And it is called nega, it is called bright, because it does permit some amount of godliness to show, so that it is translucent. And this is all the permissible stuff, all the things that are permissible in the world, that don't have any prohibition attached to it at all, any prohibition at all, including also the unholiness or the prohibition of overindulgence, of gluttony, and so on. So anything that a person does in this world, or thinks, or says, that doesn't have a holy purpose, a holy intention, a holy end goal, is unholiness. Only if it has some prohibition attached to it, then it is from the totally evil, totally dark klipa. Whereas if there's no prohibition, then it is from the klipa called neiga. And when the Alter Rebbe says that all of these things, the thought, speech, and deed, that have no heavenly purpose, are not better than the animal soul itself, and the animal soul itself is from klipas nega. In fact, there is the circumstance, or there's the times, where the thought, speech, and deed are not only not better than the animal soul, but are actually worse than the animal soul. Just as in the godly soul, the thought, speech, and deed of godliness raises the soul itself, the godly soul, to a level of godliness that by itself it would not have attained. The same is true also of the animal soul of a Jew, that the animal soul itself is klipas nega, is from the brighter klipa, but through the thought, speech, and deed, if there is a prohibition connected to them, the thought, speech, and deed is worse, infinitely worse, than the animal soul itself. Because that drags the neshama, it drags the animal soul into the totally dark klipa, which is unnatural for the animal soul being from klipas nega. Now the Alter Rebbe says that this klipas nega that we're talking about is the klipa of elam hazeh hanikra elam hoasiya rubei kekulei ra and rak ma'at tev ma'urav betecha. In the world of asiya, there is the spiritual half and the physical half. So this klipa that we're describing is the klipa as it is in the physical half of the world, where it not only is there a majority of evil, not only is the evil dominant, but it is almost completely evil. Of the four worlds, Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, Asiya, we say that the world of Atzilus is completely good. In the world of Briya, the world of Briya is predominantly good, with a little bit of evil mixed in. The world of Yetzira is half and half, half good and half bad. The world of Asiya is predominantly evil. But that's the spiritual half of the world of Asiya. The physical half of the world of Asiya is not only predominantly evil, but rubei kekulei. It is almost completely evil, completely bad. And only a little bit of good is mixed in with the bad. shemimemno, and it's from this little bit of good, bois mides tevish abenefesh abahamish abiyisro, kumeshikosu v'il, from the little bit of good that exists in this klipa, from that good come the natural goodness, the good tendencies that are natural to the Jew from his animal soul. Compassion and charitableness, generosity, and as mentioned earlier in Pedek, in the first Pedek of Tanya. What does it mean that a world is completely good, half bad? Goodness, as the Rebbe described it, holiness, is the transparency and the bittul to godliness. Unholy means opaqueness, aware of self. In the world of Atzilus, there is no self-awareness at all. Although it is a world, meaning it is a created state, yet in that created state, it is so close to its creator that the awareness there is only of the creator, and there is no self-awareness at all. In the second world, in the world of Bria, we say that it is predominantly good with a little bit of evil, means that in the world of Bria, the dominant awareness is the awareness of God. Only within that awareness, there's a little bit of self-awareness. The person is aware that he is aware of God. The third world, the world of Yetzirah, where we say that it's half and half, it means that the creatures of that level, of that world, are equally aware of self as they are of their creator. In the world of Asiyah, a person is primarily aware of himself, and through effort he can become also aware of God. And in some way he is slightly aware of God as well. Whereas in the physical part of the world of Asiyah, he's not even slightly aware. He is almost completely evil. What does it mean, almost completely? How you measure this in inches or in pounds? When we say that the world of Asiyah is predominantly bad, which means that a person is, that the creatures of the world are predominantly self-aware, and only a little bit of goodness, that means that only a little bit does the goodness make itself felt in these creatures, in that the creature, although he's very much aware of himself, also has some room in its mind and heart for the presence of God. When we say that it is almost completely evil, we mean that not only is the state of that world predominantly aware of itself, but it is aware of itself to the exclusion of God. So that the awareness of God has to come through a special effort. To say that even through effort, the person is not able to become aware of God, that would make this world a totally evil world. A world of this type would have no purpose in existence, and therefore does not exist. So that our world is the lowest of all possible worlds. Vehi, let's continue on after the brackets. Vehi bechina memutzas ben sholish klipis atmeis legamre, and this klipas nega is the intermediary level between the totally dark klipa ubein bechina sumadreges agdusha and the levels of holiness. So between holiness and unholiness, there is the klipas nega, which is the bridge. The Alter Rebbe had said two things. First of all, klipas nega is a klipa, it is bad, and it has some good to it. The badness of it is not as bad as the evil, as the darkness of the totally dark klipa. And in addition to not being as bad, it also has a little bit of good. But this little bit of good, as the Alter Rebbe says in the brackets, that produces in the Jew, in the animal soul of the Jew, compassion and charitableness, this goodness is not yet holiness. It is goodness, but not kedusha. So the goodness of the animal soul isn't holiness. And the evil of the animal soul is not totally dark klipa. So the good of the animal soul is not as good as Kedusha. And its evil is not as evil as the totally dark klipa. And therefore, it is the bridge between the two. The Lochein, this is why, Pa'omim Shehi Nechlelas B'Sholish Klipas Hatmeyes, that there will be times when the Klipas Nega will be drawn into and absorbed by the totally dark klipa. That when that which is permissible is used in a non-permissible fashion, then it itself becomes part of the totally dark, unholy klipa. Upa'amim, and there will also be times, shehi nechlelas ve'eila bebechinas umadregis hakdusha. There will be times when the permissible klipa, the klipas nega, will rise and become absorbed into holiness. How will that happen? Haino kishatev hamuriv bo. It means that when the good which is mixed in with the bad in the klipa is nisbarin mehara, it is separated, released from the bad, the gever ve'ela, and it overcomes and rises the nichlal bigdusha and becomes absorbed in the holiness. The good of the klipa, not the bad. The bad is rejected, but the good of the klipas nega, the little bit of good that is there, is released from its association with the evil, and it rises and becomes part of holiness. Again, derech moshul, as for example, ha'eichel bis v'shmeina d'tudo v'sheisi yayin mevusom, a person who eats rich meat and drinks good wine, and his purpose is laharchiv daite l'Hashem u'l'teirasi. His reason for eating it and drinking it is in order to have a greater expanse of mind and heart in the service of God. K'da'amar Rava, as Rava says, chamra v'recha pakhim, that good meat and good wine sharpen the mind. So he wants to sharpen the mind in order to be able to serve God properly and to study the Torah properly. So since his motivation for the eating and the drinking is godliness, therefore the good that was in the klipas mega, which was the meat and the wine, which by itself, given that they are kosher, they are klipas mega, not from the totally dark klipa. And since he's using it for a holy purpose, he raises it, the good that was within it, to the level of holiness. Or an even higher level, bishvil kedei l'kayim mitzvas einik shabbos v'yamtiv. He's eating the meat or drinking the wine, not only in order to be able to serve God, but in the actual service of God. And that is, he's eating it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the mitzvah of Shabbos and Yom Tov is to bring pleasure to the day, so that it's not enough to drink any wine or eat any meat. He has to eat rich meat. That's what the pleasure, what produces the pleasure for the day. And he has to drink special wine in order to fulfill the obligation of bringing pleasure to the day of Shabbos. So here it's a direct mitzvah, not only with the intention of eventually doing a mitzvah. Azai nizbar chayis habosar v'hayayin. Then the energy of the wine and the meat are separated from the evil. Shehoya nishpa miklipas nega, because until then even the good was caught in the klipa, v'eilo l'Hashem k'eilo k'karban, and it rises to God like an eilo, like a sacrifice. Just like with a sacrifice, a person brought an animal to the altar, and it was brought up on the altar, and a fire came down from heaven and consumed it, meaning to say that it was absorbed into holiness. In the same way, when a person eats or drinks as a mitzvah, or for the sake of a mitzvah, this klipas nega, that which was once klipas nega, rises and becomes part of holiness. Vechein, another example, where klipas nega rises to holiness, eimer milsa de bedichaso, lefakeach daite, ulesameach libe lashem uleteirosi vavidosi. A person who says a pleasantry, a light-hearted remark, in order to sharpen the wit and to gladden the heart so that one can serve God and study Torah better. Shitzrichem liyez besimcha, in the study of Torah and in the service of God, we have to be, it has to be performed with joy. So in order to bring that joy, it is sometimes proper to use a light-hearted remark in order to introduce the learning. As we find that Rava, one of the sages of the Gemara, had this custom of opening up his lesson, beginning his lesson, he would begin with a light-hearted remark in order to lighten the hearts of the students, and then he would deliver his lesson. So here is another case where, although the light-hearted remark is klipas nega, it's not scoffing and it's not jesting, because Alter Rebbe said earlier in Tanya that comes from the totally dark klipa, but it is a light-hearted remark that is permissible only when it is used as an introduction to the study of Torah. Not only is it permissible, it actually rises and becomes part of holiness. There's an interesting observation here. The Alter Rebbe says that this was a Rava who did this. And in the Gemara we find that it was a Rabba with a Hey. So although we find in other places and other texts where it is quoted in the name of Rava, that it was Rava, and that's why it is understandable that the Alter Rebbe would say Rava, since he is going according to the other versions, according to the other texts. But it needs a further explanation as to why the Rebbe wouldn't go with the version of the Gemara, which is more common, more popularly known. We know that in every case where there are two versions in Torah, both are correct, and both teach us something. So that there's no question but that Rabba and Rava both had this custom, and there are probably others as well, who would begin their lesson with a pleasantry. Why the Alter Rebbe chooses to say it in the name of Rava, to tell it about Rava and not about Rabba, is because Rabba and Rava both represent an explanation or an insight into the validity of using a pleasantry in order to open the study of Torah. Everybody understands that you have to learn with simcha, and therefore it is appropriate to be b'simcha when you begin to learn. But there are two possible exceptions. One exception would be if you're talking about people who by nature are already b'simcha. The other possible exception would be a person for whom Torah is his primary occupation or exclusive occupation. A person whose exclusive occupation is the study of Torah, we're told in the Gemara that he is exempt even of davening and so on. He doesn't have to take out time for davening. So we might think that if the person's study of Torah is not his exclusive occupation, it is appropriate and justified to take out a few moments to say, to make some light-hearted remark in order to introduce the simcha. But is the simcha so important that it would permit using this pleasantry or spending some time on a light-hearted remark even with those people for whom Torah is their exclusive occupation, where they are told that they don't even have to take out time for davening? Would they be allowed to take out time for pleasantries? Now here we find the difference between Rabba and Rava. Rabba, we learned earlier in Tanya, was famous for the fact that he never interrupted his study. Studying Torah was a total preoccupation with Rabba, to the point where even the angel of death, when the time came for him to die, the angel of death had to use some gimmick, some trick, to distract him for a moment from his learning in order to be able to approach him. The Gemara says that the Rabbah would introduce the study with a lighthearted remark. This tells us that even the person for whom Torah is his exclusive occupation, even he needs to take out a few moments in order to learn Torah b'simcha, in order to have that joy. Rava, on the other hand, we just learned, was of the habit of eating good wine, drinking good wine, eating rich meat, because it opened the mind and heart, which is the same as simcha. So if he was already besimcha, is it necessary for him to take out the time to use the lighthearted remark to increase the simcha? So in the version that says that Rava did that, that tells us that even a person who is besimcha by nature also needs to increase his simcha before he begins studying. Since in our times, the Alter Rebbe's times, the people whose occupation is exclusively Torah, to the point where they're exempt from davening, is very, very rare. Therefore, that lesson, the lesson that even such a person should take out the few minutes and lighten the heart in order to study with joy, that lesson is not as relevant to our generation. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe chooses the second lesson, the version that says that Rava did this, because from that we learn that even if we're in a good mood already, it is still appropriate to do whatever we can to increase the simcha in order to study Torah with greater joy. In the Hayyim Yayim for today, for the fourth day of Teves, the Rebbe writes that the Rabbeim, the Rebbes of Chabad, had the minhag of reviewing a parsha or two of the Sedra on Thursday night. Friday afternoon, they began again from the beginning and completed the Sedra and the Haftarah. On Shabbos morning, before davening, they learned from Shvi to the end, although they had learned it the day before, but they learned again from Shvi till the end. And when there were two Haftarahs read on a Shabbos, they said the one Haftarah of the Parsha on Friday night, and the second one, whether it was for Reish Chedesh or for Mocha Chedesh, they would study the second one on Shabbos morning. There are good dreams in which Torah subjects are revealed to the person while he's dreaming. Since this is the week in which we read about the dreams of Pare, so the Rebbe makes a statement about dreams. There are good dreams in which Torah is revealed to the person while he's dreaming. And these generally occur as a result of concentrated study during the day. When one studies Torah with great diligence, or davens with intense effort and concentration, then at night, when his neshama goes up to draw life to itself from the source of life, as explained in the Zohar, it is given, as part of that life that the neshama receives, it is given insights into Torah, the revealed Torah, or Chassidus, the hidden part of Torah, each person according to the diligence with which he did his Aveda during the day.